Welcome to a brand new episode of the Internet's Most Hated Mafia-Themed Geek Podcast, Longcoat Mafia Podcast. It is I, once again, the show's main host and frontman, the Reverend Godfather. This week, I had a wonderful episode planned for all of you, filled with controversy, filled with rants, filled with raves, and a whole mess of information with clips and sound bites and the whole thing in regards to why indie stuff matters in regards to like indie comics, indie movies, indie music, and so forth and so on. But I wanted to kind of jump on a puzzle box and put my doubts on the line, put my skepticism on the line, and watch the brand new Hellraiser movie that is on Hulu. Special thanks to one of my friends and friends of the show to loan me their login and password for Hulu to allow me to watch this brand new remake, reboot, call it what you want in regards to this movie. What can I say? But spoilers. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put the word spoilers in the title. So all of you out there know that there will be spoilers in regards to my thoughts and my initial reaction to this movie. And I will say that I think, what's his name again? David Buchner, I think that's his name, who's directed. Clive Barker was in charge. I think he was one of the executive producers. Overall, if you want the non-spoilers, David did a damn good job presenting this movie in regards to the imagery and everything else, and trying to make it spooky and eerie, and trying to use a lot of the classic aspects of horror movies, and by not showing the Cenobites and the priest, aka Pinhead, as most of the fans know of Pinhead. That way it adds to the horror aspects and adds to the creepiness and the whole nine yards and the threat value of the Cenobites and what it means. And special props to Jamie Clayton, I believe is her name. Special props to her. Special props. I'll say this right here, right now. Again, this is the whole non-spoiler-free aspects. She had the biggest shoes to fill, the biggest shadow to come out from, because as many folks have stated that in the original book version of the book version of Hellraiser, the character of the priest, aka Pinhead, wasn't really assigned a gender, and other than there was no gender, just that the main description was the priest, aka Pinhead, had a female voice, a high-pitched female-ish voice. But when the movies came out in the 80s and 90s, it was portrayed by, for the most part, Doug Bradley, the legendary. He cemented the priest slash Pinhead. He is what most of the fans have come to know as the priest slash Pinhead. Like I said, this was the biggest. He set the bar damn high. And Jamie Clayton, my God, she rose to the challenge, and wow. And I'm saying that with mad respect. And here I am, like, I'll be the first to say, and when I found out Pinhead slash the priest was going to be played by a woman, I was like, well, Doug Bradley, yeah, he's the man. He's the man when it comes to slashers. next to Robert Englund, he is the person. But she saw that bar, and I want to say, oh my God, she like rose to the challenge and managed to clear that bar. Oh man, her presence. I want to say she conveyed when it came to Pinhead in this. She portrayed Pinhead just as ruthless, evil, smart, cunning, manipulative, evil, the whole nine that Doug Bradley portrayed in his version of Pinhead. Was it good? And I'm sure she added her own little twist. And at one point, she does say the line as to, "We have such sights to show you." And the way she portrayed it was not as evil as Doug. So it was her own twist on it. And it was right up there. Oh, again, Jamie, oh, thank you for setting the bar. No one could come as close to you and Doug in my eyes right now. Such love, such respect. You did a good job. Now, as for the movie itself, let's start off again. Spoilers for everything. The laminate configuration, or the box as we know it, the infamous puzzle box. I know that's what we call it, is the laminate configuration. But I'll refer to it as the form as we know as the puzzle box. I'll say this, though different in design, it's the same type of design that we know and love from the OG movies, just slightly different, but the same. And also, what I saw in this, they actually made it similar to a puzzle, meaning they gave it more moving parts that the actor or actress using the box was able to manipulate, instead of meaning it showed the actor and actress like turning the corners or adjusting the corners or rotating the main centerpiece, whereas in the original movies they just thumbed over that centerpiece, meaning they gave the box more movement, which added to the box, made the box a little bit better. They stepped up the effects to it. Did the box have its own movements? Or I should say, when the box was solved, in a way, the box became automatic, but it allowed the actor and actress, or actress holding the box, have more interaction. And it gave the box more of weight and personality, so to speak, if that makes sense to all of you. So that made it great. And allowing it to sound metallic with not just wooden clicks, but like when somebody tossed it on the concrete, it had a more of a metal sound to it, allowed it to be so. So it gave more weight to the box. And so they did improve over the movies, and a lot the OG movies. So that's a good sign that showed that they were saying, we want to show respect to the old movies, but in a way, improve on it, make it our own. And I enjoyed that, and it's not an issue with me. And what they also did was, it had a darker tone. Granted, the original Hellraisers were of a dark tone, but this was a little bit darker. They used more imagery to portray how horrific and darkness of it. It's kind of hard to explain, but most people who watch and enjoy horror understand that they have to use more like goth imagery or imagery to portray something being darker. You know, not just darker light or like a brighter tone. For those of you out there that might be new to horror, like if you watch something like watch old episodes of House or Big Bang Theory or like something like that, or a drama on TV or Hulu or something like that, it's a brighter tone. Yet Supernatural is a little bit of a dark and grittier tone. Walking Dead is a little bit of a darker tone, overall darker tone. They use darker colors in it. And they used that in this. They took that aspect, darker, deeper lighting, imagery, and to portray more of that dark tone to let you know that this is a horror movie. That is, it did a great, great job in that. And they also showed that, or it showed off the fact that Pinhead, the priest, and the priest's ilk, the Cenobites, making deals, and their, you know, what they did, following the laws, the in essence the mythos. So it was showing that. And also one of the things I enjoyed in it is the aspect of I'm not including Hellraiser 3 and Bloodlines in this, because you saw they went a little beyond what we saw. I'm just referring to the first two movies, Hellraiser and Hellraiser 2. And in those particular movies, the original Cenobites, other outside of Pinhead or the priest and one other were able to talk. In this, the other Cenobites were able to talk and communicate. Now, when kind of researching or diving into the Hellraiser mythos myself before watching this, it's come to my realization, my knowledge, it was brought to my light that in the comics and other media, the other Cenobites have spoken. So this is what this version has done, this movie has done, has brought in the mythos of not just the book, because I haven't really dove into the book version, the short story that this movie is based on, but I take it has drew a lot from influence from that, other media like comics, plus the older movies. And the reason why I say that is because, yes, they have to kind of pay retrospect to the OG movies, because what they were trying to do, from what I hear, was bring in the fans of the book, other media, and of course, there's going to be people like myself that are big fans of at least the original four movies. Me, personally, I enjoyed the first five movies. I enjoyed the first four, which was the fourth one was Bloodlines. The one that came after that was pretty good. And the rest of them went downhill so fast, it was disgusting. But this kind of brought it back. I really enjoyed it. But what they did for the member berries, if you will, in regards to folks like myself, wasn't just the line of, we have such sights to show you. There was like the hint, brief glimpse of the rotating rectangle statue that was in 3. The Leviathan configuration of the box. The walls that opened up into hell slash the labyrinth where the Leviathan configuration or the Leviathan was there. So you had that. You had those nods that folks like myself, the fans of the original movies, could look at and go, wow, yes, yes, that was part of the original and something familiar. So we also see, I brought up the fact that, you know, the fact that there aren't shown as much or in shadow proves the creepy factor. And the fact, though, a lot of you fans out there of the movies will say, well, they're not in the black leather. Yeah, they're not in the black, what you can now call the Matrix goth version of the Cenobites that we know and love. Yes, they had to change it, and they did a wonderful job in switching things out, making the, instead of that basic Matrix goth, they made them more gory, more I won't say more different, way different and unique and detailed and exaggerated, which is needed and was a breath of fresh air in regards to this. Not to mention we saw it. Like I said, it's not a bad thing. It was done, and it was done well, and it was a good thing. What else? And there's part of it that, of course, there to go into the movie, there has to be something to kind of move things along to bring context, to, at least to the main character, and to explain things in the movie. And at one point in the movie, we see the main character, Riley, find a book, a diary that during the setup, we see someone else named Roland. It was this person's initial diary. And when she's looking through it, she, on one page, there's a line. The line states in this page, this time it is a woman. It kind of describes the person's journey and says, this time it is a woman. And my question was, when I saw that, I had to pause the movie to read and go through, look at this page to see what kind of information they were providing. This could mean it's paying respects to Doug Bradley's version of the character, and it was meant not as a way of, hey, this is years later than what we have shown, and this is why it's different. And it's kind of saying, yes, in the past, the person that was the priest / pinhead was a guy, now it is a woman. So, yeah, fine, that makes sense to me. I was like, wait a minute, that kind of makes sense. They're acknowledging Doug Bradley without acknowledging Doug Bradley. I like that. It kind of makes sense. And what we also see is an explanation about the Cenobites and how they're made and why they're made, in a way. Wasn't truly, truly detailed, but it was there. I liked that little bit of detail. And we also see a page showing some of the new versions of the puzzle box. Yes, we see the classic, what we old fans of the movies know as a laminate configuration of the box. We also see as the last form of that box that we know as the Leviathan configuration, which we saw in the original sequel, Hellraiser 2. But there was a kind of meanings for each, and what those names were. One was the first form of that box, which we know as the laminate configuration, which was meant life. There was the lore configuration, known as knowledge. The laudrant or laudrant configuration, known as love. The liminate configuration, which was sensation. The Lazarus configuration, known as resurrection, and the final configuration was the Leviathan configuration, which meant power. And each part of this movie, we saw the movie kept the aspects of the original in regards to that, though the priest, Pinhead, was the leader, and they were still bound by laws, bound by ritual, and they were smart, cunning, and everything else. And there were times that they did, when the main character did something, it was like Pinhead / the priest would go, you know what, I'm allowing it, boom, oh snap, the priest held up their end of the bargain. That's why my doubts were gone. Did I like it? Did I love it? Yes. At one point, we do see the aspects of a Cenobite being made at the tail end of the movie. It was a way of like, hey, we kind of have to show how Cenobites are being made because it was done in the original line of movies. It was done in the sequel. It was kind of done in we saw Pinhead, the priest slash Pinhead get made. We saw the doctor get turned into a Cenobite in the sequel in regards to the laminate configuration. We saw Cenobites getting made in Bloodlines. We saw the Cenobites getting made in a little bit in each of the ones. So we got to have that in here somewhere too. So I was glad to see that in a way in regards to this movie too. Or at least the starting of that process. So, well, if there, I don't know. I hope to God there is a sequel to this. I want to see a sequel and how they run with it. Will they run with it in a sequel? I don't know. But as a fan of the original, or I should say the baseline four, yeah, I'd be intrigued to see how they take a sequel. David Buckner did a wonderful job. Damn it, hire Jamie back on. Were there blood, breasts, and beast in this? Blood, yes. Beast, yes. Breasts, not so much. But it is a new era in movies. Gone are the ways of the 80s and 90s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, where you had blood, breasts, and beasts. Now a lot of the actors and actresses, especially the actresses, a little bit more aware of this, themselves and the situation. And the creators out there are more aware of the ramifications and so forth and so on. And they're, I guess, giving a lot of the actresses out there more options that they don't have to do full frontal anymore. So that, I wouldn't say it was unnecessary, but it was something different. And I'm not holding it against them for not doing that aspect. And it's not an issue for me. I would have been like, oh, yep, they kept to the three B's in regards to classic horror in a modern age. I'm also happy to see that this is or was a rated R film. The only downside is that there were adverts in, I think, two or three parts of the movie. I think that was because the account that I am a part of was keeping their was playing to their budgetary needs and didn't opt for the ad-free aspects, just the live. So that was just a hindrance. That's just me being a nitpick. But overall, will I be picking this up when it comes out on, let's say, Vudu? Yes. Yes, I will. Damn tootin' I will. Because I was pleased. I'd be happy to have this version as part of my movie collection. It was different. I'm pleased for it. I had my skepticism for it. I had my doubts. Especially with everything I heard in regards to Pinhead slash the priest being in this or represented by a female or a woman or at least somebody I think identifies as a woman. I'm happy. I am proud. She proved me wrong. Or I should say Jamie proved me wrong. I am proud that David proved me wrong with this. So do I recommend you watching this movie? Yes, I recommend giving it a chance. If you have your doubts, please give it a chance. Yes, it's a little bit different. It's a remake. It's a reboot. Yes, they're trying to cash in on the whole aspect of that ordeal. But I will say this. Doug Bradley is getting on in years. There is so much more he can do. Maybe in the sequel, if there is a sequel, they bring him in as a form of a cameo, maybe, in a way. But we'll have to see. I would love to see Doug Bradley as a cameo at some point, saying that he ran into the box at some point or something like that, or him as a background character somewhere as an Easter egg. I'll say this: if you have Hulu, yeah, give it a watch. Give it a watch. If it comes out on Vudu, rent it, or at least pay for Hulu for a month and give it a watch there, and that way you're not out too much money. But again, this is something that I would be more than happy to pick up on Vudu when it comes out on Vudu. I enjoyed it. Once again, this I am the Reverend Godfather. You just listened to a review and my initial reaction to the new Hellraiser movie. I'll see you next time. Same bat time, same bat channel. And remember, kids, if you see a puzzle box sitting on the ground, completely ignore it and everything else. Toodles.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.